I'm getting a lot of training today. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio with Minneapolis Mad Dads. I'm so glad to be here today. I'm getting ready to post it on here so everybody knows to call me at Blog Talk Radio. And remember, the number is 347-215-9262. 347-215-9262. That is the number to call in for Blog Talk Radio. And it looks like I have a guest. I'm going to bring her on in just a second. But, man, before I bring you on, introduce yourself to everybody. Let them know who you are and what brings you to Mad Dads today.
Hi. My name is Anna Marie, and I am a doctoral student at the University of Minnesota, and focusing on urban poverty and human resource development. I'm originally from Holland. I have lived in the U.S. now for about 12 years.
So what brought you? You grew up in Asia.
I grew up in Asia. So I was 6 when I left Holland and then spent most of my time in Hong Kong for about 10 years and Bangkok. So I've traveled a lot, seen a lot of the world, and out of all places, I now ended up in Minnesota.
So how many languages do you speak?
So three fluently, and then some Cantonese and Thai. But I'm not going to be able to hold a proper conversation.
So three languages. Yeah. What are those three languages?
Dutch, English, and German.
So in German, how do you say, how do you say black girls rock in German?
In German? So how about in Dutch?
Okay, how about in Dutch you say black girls rock?
I think we use rock. Rock would be across the board in languages. Zwarte Maiden, rocken.
Okay, so that's how you say Black Girls Rock. Now I'm gonna go on the air. We've got the founder of Black Girls Rock on the phone. We're gonna talk a little bit about what happened with Get Out the Vote. And we had about 25 kids to help us get the vote out to bring President Obama in.
And
so we're gonna talk to Ms. Champion. Ms. Champion, welcome to Blog Talk Radio. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine, Mr. VJ.
Now, did you hear how you say Black Girls Rock in, that was Russian? Right?
That was Dutch.
That was Dutch?
Yeah, it probably sounded like Russian.
Do you remember how you say that now?
No, I don't. No, but I enjoy hearing her say that.
Okay.
She's
now,
representing.
She's representing. Okay. Now, tell us a little bit about the excitement. What happened? You had 25 kids. You got out and... you got on the doors and knocked the doors and canvassed it, doing the political process for 5 days straight. What was that like?
Exciting, very exciting. When I grew up, we were not added in with being involved with the elders. And just to know that the youth wanted to be involved and the youth were so excited to be involved, and to know more about the president and to get out there and do the work for him, it was very exciting to me because once they got going, I couldn't stop them.
And so tell everybody a little bit about it. What exactly all the kids did?
Well, they started off on the phones. After school, I would meet up with them, and they started off on the phones, making a lot of calls, which was exciting to do that. I participated in that. Then when it got close to the election, they got to meet Keith Ellis and take pictures with him. And also, you know, we sat around and we talked about what the purpose of this was and what was it going to mean to them if the president did get elected. And so the kids, they was anxious to get out there and put the work in. And they made history. And to go and tell other youth and even other adults about what they experienced, you know, it was very emotional. It was very time-consuming, but emotional more than anything. you know, kind of not knowing if the president was going to win. But with a lot of work, we got him in there.
Well, you listen to Blog Talk Radio with Minneapolis Mad Dads, and I'm talking to Catrice Champion. She is working with our youth group and also Girls Rock. And then we've got Anne Marie.
Yep, correct.
Yeah, Anne Marie. She is from Holland. She's Dutch and from Holland, grew up in Asia, and speaks three different languages, and is also studying her PhD in human services and resource development.
Yep,
is that correct? Now, I want Catrice is going to answer a question that you have for me. Catrice, one of the questions she had is about the gang involvement in North Minneapolis. What do you think the solution is to some of that?
What do I think? The solution is to get all the youth together and keep them busy and to show them positive and to bring positive adults around them and to show them that it is that they can become, you know, some of their dreams, that they can get out here and use their talent, whatever their talents are, and they can become whoever and do whatever they want to do. You know, we have to sit up and spend time with our children and listen to them. I'm in the learning process, you know, and all it takes is time.
Well, you're absolutely right. And one of the things I want to ask you is that we've been talking about solutions and resources. And one of the things that seems that we have a shortage of, when we took those kids out and brought them out and we told them we'd give them a stipend, they were really excited about getting that stipend. And we were able to make the stipend a little more than we anticipated by the end of the election. And they were really, really happy. Matter of fact, I remember one kid looked in so many shoes and said, look, these are Obama shoes. You know, not that Obama bought the shoes, but that the stipend that he earned brought him something that he desperately needed. Our kids need jobs, and one of the things that we found out that most of the corner stores and the stores in our community are not owned by the African-American community, so they don't hire the African-American community kids. Where are our kids supposed to go for work? Where are our kids supposed to go for resources? Where are our kids supposed to get money from? So many of our kids are robbing and breaking in their houses just to get essentials that they need.
But, you know, I feel, you know, a lot of us don't have jobs for our kids, you know. And I feel that I had a young man to tell me the other day, well, I don't have no work for the kids. And I looked at him and I touched his forehead and I told him, but you do. If you sit down and give a kid just a little of your time and some of the things that you got in your head, that kid can take some of that you got in your head and go out and go get him a job. So you do have jobs for him. All you got to do is just take out time. That's all. And we can point them in the right directions because it is jobs out there.
Well, you know, you make a great point. You make a great point, and I think what you just talked about is social capital. That's the difference between financial capital. Mm-hmm. And social capital is also what you mean by mentoring. When you mentor into a kid and you pour into a kid, that is mentoring. Now, Anna, you are from you grew up in Asia, but you're from Holland. Now, tell me a little bit about how is it different in other countries? How do you deal with the youth problem in other countries?
So, and that's a very good question. And actually, this is why I began studying this in the first place when I moved to the United States. But in Holland, the focus is on having the opportunities shared across society, no matter where you are, so that every child has the same and equal opportunities. And the government actually has a much more collective approach to ensuring that all these populations are integrated and succeeding in society. So there are different forms. They're being tied into educational opportunities from a young age, which is also at no cost. So there's a lot more access and resources available, because the premise is that groups of people cannot be socially excluded from society and economically excluded. So there's a real model that looks at how everybody can move towards and have an excellent quality of life.
Well, you know, I think that's exactly right. And that's what I like about what you said, Catrice, is I think we don't, you know, we got all these men that they want to get paid to do what they need to do. They don't want to reach out to our kids. And we got all these kids, and I was just really excited about somebody was talking to me today about how you handle the kids. A gentleman was telling me, yeah, the lady that works with you, the kids paid attention to her, and they listened to her. And they don't know how much you pour into those children, and I've seen you in action. And I thank you for the love you pour into those kids. That's why they call you Mama Treese, because Mama Treese is able to touch their hearts, and I appreciate you having that ability to touch their hearts. And if more people did that, and you do that with no money, you touch their hearts, and you can, when you call them, they come, they show up, and that's why I wanted to give you a venue for those kids to come and be a part of something to help you out. And so thank you for the love that you pour in those kids. What kind of encouragement or advice do you give to other women in the community that can do the same thing you're doing?
That I'm not just a mother to mine. I'm a mother to all kids. By me being a woman, I take that one man, and I think about that word, one man. But I'm as one. I'm a woman, not one man, not that man. And that's what I let the kids, I get that understanding with them. I can't be that father role. Only thing I can do is nourish the child. And I'm out here to nourish that child, to make that child, to mold that child. And the first 18 years is on the mother and the father. And then after that, whatever happens, that hopefully that child will take what he or her been taught out there in the world. But I'm there, and time tells a story. I asked God to give me time after I lost my oldest child. Give me time to live in this world, to give myself. I have so much of myself to give. And for me to tell another mother, it's time for us to get up. It's time for us to be submissive, not just to our mates, but to our children. And we need to stop, listen, and learn. To learn our kids is to earn our kids. And that's where I am right now. I don't condone wrong, and I just take my time, and I ask God to lead me to say the right things, to touch that kid's heart. And I'm everywhere.
Well, you know, it sounds to me like in – Anna, you can chime in and ask any questions you like. Catrice, it sounds to me like, and what I really like about what you said is that, you know what, I'm tired of people talking about how poor the neighborhood is. I'm tired of people talking about how bad the neighborhood is. Why don't we look at the hearts of these kids? Why don't we look at the pain that they're going through? Why don't we help them figure out how to come out of that and see the blessings that are all around them? That's what I see you saying, Ms. Champion, and I thank you for having that kind of outlook on life for our kids. And I thank you for coming out of the darkness of losing your son to realize that you can empower others even through your loss.
Yes, yes.
Do you have a question for?
More of a adding on to your comment is more that there's such a need, and you've mentioned this, for a collective effort in order to move this under way, not focusing. There's only so much you can do as one person. But when you bring in other people from the community who have the passion and who want what's best, you know, it takes a village, and it takes a village. It sounds so corny, but to raise a child. And I think everybody needs to, you know, come together and focus on that.
Absolutely.
But, you know, our village, I have to sit up and say, to add to what you just said, when I first heard that, I heard that from, I think, Bush's wife, I'm not for sure where I first heard that at. It takes a village to raise kids. But in our village, Northside, Minneapolis, our village was destroying our kids. It was really destroying our kids. But like Mr. Smith said, in the village, it's riches. And it's also heroes that's still in the North Side. Now we're coming out, which a lot of us been out. But our kids were so lazy, and they were just taught in that village to not move. Only move when it was something negative to do. And so we have taken that right there and focus on it, and now we're putting our kids, we getting them busy, getting them to play basketball, getting them to help the old lady carry her groceries across the street, you know, getting them out to the churches. They are filling the churches up. It's more youth in the churches than elders.
That's right. You're absolutely right. Now, Ms. Champion, we're going to be right back with you. Don't you go anywhere. We got another caller on the line. Your number is 5381. You're listening to Blog Talk Radio at Mad Dads. Can I help you? Come on, chime in. What you got to say?
Well, this is Bertrand Schoberg. It's Brother VJ.
This is Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, VJ, how you doing? Yeah, this is Marcus, Black Man Stand Up Movement guy, Enough is Enough and all that. And, you know, I kind of, you know, especially what happened on 39th and DuPont, you know, just recently, you know, Enough is Enough is about to go out there at 2 o'clock and do some door knocking to raise awareness to that. And the big picture of the violence in our kids and the misdirection of our children don't only lie with our children. We have to be very mindful of this. Myself, I'm an ex-gang member. I used to run the streets. I used to do all that. I'm about 5 years removed from that now, and I do a whole lot of different things with my life. But I can't turn a blind eye to the things that I've seen, you know? There are people out there among my peers that raise their children to be this way. There's moms that buy weed from their kids. There's parents that don't want to give up their drug habit or expose their the dark side of their lifestyles, so they go ahead and enable that in their children. And you know, just me volunteering with Enough is Enough, going out to the parks over north and playing basketball with the kids and even doing the door knocking and everything, I actually got to see the other side of where I come from, that there are actually people who care and have a conscience. I'm not the only one who thinks about things like this. There has to be a big rebuilding of our community, and it has to be empowering. When it comes to the economic level as well as the spiritual, emotional, and family level, in order to solve this problem,
you're absolutely right. And matter of fact, let me just share this with you: the Mad Dads they're on their way. They're going to be meeting up with you guys at 2 o'clock on 39th and DuPont to help out. So we're always partnering with you guys whenever we can. So they'll be out there with you to door knock or whatever they need to do to help out. Okay. And
awesome.
You're absolutely right, man. You know, our parents, that's why Mad Dads got started in the first place, because there weren't enough original dads doing what they're supposed to do. I tell a kid in the jail when I see him, if your dad had told you what you had to do or had been around, would you be involved in a gang? 90% of those boys say no. That I would have not done it had my dad led me in the right direction, or just even said, no, you're not about to do that. But my dad was doing it, or either he wasn't there. So the role of a father, is, you're exactly right, is important. The role of a sober and right-minded mother is important. You know, so you're absolutely right. With parents that are going the wrong direction, the kids are absolutely going to go in that same direction too. You want to share everybody when you meet and how they can get involved with Enough is Enough? Let's share that, man. I think we don't do that enough. We don't share with each other. You know, Mad Dads, this is Mad Dads Blog Talk Radio, but I want people to know about you, too. When do you meet?
Enough is Enough. We actually do emails and stuff. And next week, we're looking for volunteers to come out, play basketball with the kids, or interact with the kids, period, at Farview Park next Saturday I believe it's 7 o'clock, but it might be 8 o'clock. Sometimes the time fluctuates, and it usually lasts for about an hour. Enough is Enough. We started out in the summertime just doing door knocking, raising awareness in the community. This is what you do when you see a crime. This is how to make your community safer. Do you know about Court Watch? Do you know how to get involved in the system? Are there any problem houses on your block? Do you feel safe in your community, in your home, X, Y, Z? There's a good percentage of people that felt safe. There's another significant amount of people that did not feel safe, you know. And then when we got to interacting with the kids, the teenagers, they kind of looked at us like, what are these grown guys doing here? You know, and what I did is I was managing the sober house for a treatment center over north, RCCS, and I just rounded up everybody from the sober house, and I said, come on, guys, we're going to do something different with our Saturday night. Because if you wasn't here, you'd be doing something totally opposite with your Saturday night. We're going to go play basketball with these kids. We're going to go raise awareness in the community and everything. And at first, you know, the guys were kind of like, I don't really want to do that. But after they got that experience, and they were even able to grow from that thing. So Enough is Enough is a really, really awesome thing. They have a Facebook page called Enough is Enough, No One Dies. I invite everybody to go ahead and check that out. You could go ahead and inbox that page or leave a message on that page to find out exactly how to get involved, who to call, or whatever, you know, to get it all in details in black and white in front of you. But, you know, to me, it's really, really, really awesome and powerful, especially for men, okay, for men, because our women have been doing this for a very, very long time, hundreds of years they've been the heads of our communities. So the men need to really step up. And it's really very powerful to see, and I don't want to just say positive black male images, but positive male images, period, in the community, in the eyes of our women and children. A lot of us coming from the lower class and the middle class, a lot of us men have lost faith from our kids and our women and our families because we've been simply trying to live thug life or be what we see on BET or our lost hope and gave into addiction, you know, and committing slow forms of suicide and stuff.
What was that thing that got you out of the game? What was that situation?
I just met my ex-wife. We were planning on getting married, and you know, she explained it to me in a way that nobody else really was able to, and I don't know if it's just because I'm in love with this woman or she's just a pretty girl telling me this stuff, but, you know, she just asked me, what's the point of me living my life like that? What am I doing with myself? And I sat back and I thought about it for a couple of weeks. I was just going on 30 years old, and I thought about, you know, if I was to die right now, what would the legacy of my life be? And there wouldn't be very much good that could have been said about me. I mean, I'd been a drug dealer and a gang member my whole adult life by then, you know. So I had jobs here and there, but I was a user, I was an abuser, and you know, even my own children, you know, had suffered repercussions from that. So I wasn't very happy with who I am. I got up and I looked in the mirror and I said to myself, you know, my pants were sagging and my hat was sideways, and I said, man, pull your pants up, put your hat straight, man, and man up. Black man, stand up. Who are you going to be with your life? You know, what kind of legacy are you going to leave behind, you know, to your name? You know, I was shot seven times. I was when I was 17, so I know mortality very well, and I wanted to be a better person. So I said, I'm just not doing this no more. I'm not selling drugs no more, not being a gang member no more. I got on my knees and I prayed, and I asked God to guide me in the right direction, and here I am all these years later, so.
Hey, man, I'm so proud of you. I'm really excited about what God has done for you. And, you know, I was really happy when we could get our picture together, and I put it on Facebook, you know, and I was just one of my favorite pictures of me and you, because we talked so much, and we've connected so much about coming together, and I see you really starting to shine, and I'm just really proud of you, man. I'm really proud of you. Just keep doing what you're doing and knowing that we got you in our prayers. We're always praying for you, man. And every time you touch a life, man, just know that your story, every time you tell your story, you're touching somebody. Right now, we've got a bunch of people listening in that's already called in. They don't want to talk. They just want to listen. They want to hear what you got to say. If give them that, how they can get in touch with you again. If there's a number, give them that.
Actually, I don't have a problem doing this because I kind of help coordinate for Enough is Enough. My number is 612-598-5381. There's also a Facebook page for Enough is Enough, No One Dies. That's sponsored by the 4th Precinct Task Force and the Jordan Area Community Council. And you can definitely get all the information on Enough is Enough on that website. I also have the Black Man Stand Up Movement page on Facebook. I like to put a lot of good stuff on there, me and my fellow admins, to help get some knowledge and to help get some awareness and to help, be a positive light in the world. You can also find that on Facebook. I want to say thank you to everybody who's actually doing something positive to go against the negative stereotypes of people from our class of society, because you are living in essence what the Black Man Stand Up Movement entails. To me, it's just really, really great. As I started Black Man Stand Up Movement, as I had that self-talk with myself, I started writing it and stuff, and I ended up going to treatment, and I talked to Paul Kusterman about that stuff, and he helped me go ahead and set up the mission statement and everything like that. And I just keep giving my message, and me giving the message from the Black Man Stand Up Movement helped me get in contact with Enough is Enough, No One Dies. And to me, I just thought that was just great. This is actually action. This is actually something being done instead of a whole bunch of people just tossing around a whole bunch of ideas and nobody putting any action to it and stuff that.
Do you mind if Anna Marie contacts you? She's from Dutch. She's Dutch. She's from Holland, and she grew up in Asia. She's studying her PhD in human resources. She's looking for people like you to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
Do you mind if she calls you and does the interview with you?
I have no problem with that at all.
Okay, well, we'll give her your number. That was my man. I love that guy. He's a wonderful gentleman. I'm so proud of him. Brother, give him your name again.
My name is Bertrand Schoberg.
Yes, that's right. That's my brother. That's my guy. Now I'm gonna go back to Catrice, Miss Champion. Miss Champion, it's so good to have you on the line. Thank you very much. And once again, thank you for working with the young people. Thank you for giving your time and efforts to the young people. Do you have any closing remarks before we go off the air?
Yes. I just would love for North Side, South Side, to come together and let's work on ourselves as being adults, learning adults, and let's get out here with our kids, because we need doctors, lawyers, teachers, and the only way we're going to get them if we spend time and become more heroes. Let's stop letting our children attend funerals like they're social gatherings. They are so immune. They get their T-shirts together and gets ready like it's like they are going to go to a nightclub. And I mean, they all just have, like a little get-together. And they don't allow the parents to go through the grieving stage. And I just think we have to work on that more in the community, and I really wanted to put that out there. But as for our youth, now they're sticking together more, and they are trying harder. So I just want to give all my kids a word of encouragement. Mama loves y'all, and I'm watching y'all. I'm the Facebook patrol, and I'm watching what you guys are doing, the girls and guys are doing. And I'm just a phone call away.
And they're doing a lot, too. So I want to thank you for calling in and thank you for being a part of our show. We're wondering if we can make you a co-host, and would you be mind calling in every week for us?
Oh, that's fine. That's fine.
Okay, that'd be great. We'd love to have you on. You're listening to Blog Talk Radio with the Minneapolis Mad Dads. I'm sitting here with Anna Marie. Anna, what did you think about our callers today and the show today?
I think it's great to hear from people in the community and who have had the experiences that I am researching. And I think it shows that there's such a complexity and there's so many elements at play that make this a challenge, but at the same time, people are absolutely committed to make this, to improve and to make the lives better for the kids and the members of the community. That really shows.
Yeah, and I think it's important. That's the thing that makes it work. You know, and if you can get around the politics of everything, like we're trying to figure out where does all the money really go and how can we get some of the money where it needs to be. You know, the kids that me and Catrice are working with, we need resources. We need money for buses. We need money for supplies. We need all that, and it's kind of tight right now. It's kind of tight. It really is. Resources have kind of dwindled for young people. You got to realize the jobs left and the resources left, mm-hmm. you know. And so we're trying to figure out how to get those resources back for our kids. And one of the biggest resources that she said was just that capital social resource. Like just telling a kid how much you care, how much it means to me. I can name you hundreds of kids that say, nobody's even told me they love me today.
Yeah.
That's why so many people love Mama Trees, because she says that to you. She says, I love you. Even when you feel like you may not deserve it, she says that. She'll check on your Facebook. If she sees that you're saying something that's negative,
mm-hmm.
out of line, she'll check back in with you on Facebook and say, why'd you say that? What's going on? Call me. And so that's the kind of thing that we need. And remember, we got a support group tonight, every Tuesday night, 3023 4th Avenue South, our partnership with Urban Ventures. If you want to get a better relationship, me and John Turner seem to be facilitating that. If you learn how to be a better parent, Gil Baggett and Jack Strotter will facilitate that. We plan on at least having 80 families there. You can be one of them. Come on through. We'll see you at 3023 4th Avenue South at 5 o'clock today. Thank you for listening to Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for all my guests. God bless you. You've been listening to Blog Talk Radio right here in Minneapolis, Minnesota. We'll see you soon next week.